Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch,
presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse,
with Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
3rd and 1. Brown tries to burrow, and a nice hit put in there with a great play. Roquan Smith, he leads him in tackling, and he comes up with a submarine tackle. There's no gain on the play. Here come the boos because the punting unit has taken the field for the Bengals.
Kevin Harlan, CBS. That was the first matchup this season between Baltimore and Cincinnati, won by the Ravens in overtime. Mm-hmm. They played two great games, especially for Baltimore, because they won them both. But Kevin Harlan talking about Roquan Smith making a big play on third down, which forced a change of possession, a game in which Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson were matching touchdowns.
Yeah, the thing, let me just mention something quick about overall defense is, where did the defense struggle the most, especially at the beginning of the year? Secondary, inside linebacker. What new coaches are there coming in? Inside linebacker? Two secondary coaches. So, I mean, that kind of tells you what a lot of these issues were, because all those coaches are no longer. So, Roquan Smith. Now, Roquan, he played 16 regular season. He had 154 tackles, 1.5 sacks, and 4 tackles for loss, 4 pass defense and an interception, and 1 forced fumble. Now, you know, because we say, oh, you know, the year before he was so good, you know, him and Queen, blah, blah, blah. In 23, he had 158 tackles. 16 games, 1.5 sacks, 5 tackles for loss, 8 pass defense, 1 interception. So almost identical to what it was. But it didn't look the same. You know, he looked like he was a step slower and heavier or whatever. But he looked much more comfortable once Simpson was gone or was not playing in at the linebacker position. I just think, plus the other thing was what they did pretty much at the same time. Kyle Hamilton was handling the back end communication and Roquan was just handling the front. I think it was way too much for him to handle the back, the front, and Simpson, and get your crap together. You know, I just think it was too much for him. And I think then he settled in as the season went along when Hamilton handled his stuff. They had the veteran lit next to him, and the front was he handled the front, and because then he took off. He did struggle pass coverage. He was not great in pass coverage. I didn't think
that you mentioned the early games, the Kansas City games.
So I mean, I thought he, because I went back and looked at, because watching him in his first couple games, I'm saying, damn, he doesn't look like he's running like he did. I went back and watched the championship game when they did play the Chiefs. He did look, you know, quicker and faster. So I don't know. And, you know, maybe he got into shape, because it was noticeable, I thought. So he needs to come in great shape into camp. And it's going to be interesting to see who lines up next to him. You know, I mean, that's going to be, what is it, Minucci, the linebacker coach from Georgia Tech? That's going to be his job somehow, some way. Is it Simpson? You know they're going to bring in a veteran. They got to bring in a veteran guy, too, to have in there, because you can't have a rookie who, you know, is he going to be swimming, you know, like Simpson was his rookie? I mean, because there was no way he was ready to play as a rookie. And he went way backwards this year. So can he take that next step? That's why you got to have a veteran in there to kind of settle things down.
Now, Roquan has basically been a stud since he was drafted into the league by the Bears. So early struggles aside, Vinny, any reason to believe that his performance dips? Can he get any better?
Well, I think he'll get better because he'll have probably more comfort, you know, with linebacker coach, and he'll probably be surrounded by a better player, and he won't have as much plate. And Bob, maybe the biggest thing is that his off-season stuff, he comes in much better shape and condition, and that's just me talking about what I saw when I watched him play. He didn't look, and maybe they can help him improve his pass coverage, because we weren't talking about that he sucked in pass coverage the year before, you know, and they had two linebackers on the field the whole time, you know, and when they're in the nickel and the dime this past year, Simpson was out or Board was out, and they had extra DBs in, so yeah, it showed up bad this year in pass coverage.
Now, when we get back to, as we stay with inside linebacker, and you brought up Trent Simpson, Nolan, correct me if I'm wrong, you were kind of, I don't even say cautiously optimistic, you considered Trenton Simpson stepping in for Patrick Queen as maybe an issue season long. And I mean, he did finish third on the team in tackles, but he wasn't even playing down the stretch there.
Well, it was kind of roller coaster for me. I mean, I was just hesitant to give that big of a workload to a guy who only had one season under his belt. And it was mostly on special teams. I mean, he didn't really give you anything. And everyone put all that stock in the season finale against Pittsburgh. And that was, sure, it was a good performance, but it's one game. And you can argue against the level of competition and all that. So, but then you got in the season. And early on, I thought he handled himself all right. Mm-hmm. I mean, he didn't look lost out there. He certainly impressed me. And then it just started getting a little too shaky. So he'll get there. I mean, he showed enough improvement that I feel comfortable with him moving forward. But should probably still have some insurance.
Oh, yeah, you definitely need insurance. But that is, like Nolan, you just said, that Pittsburgh game, that because he sucked during his rookie year. He was horrible. Training camp, I mean, I said it from the get-go. He was lost in space. Like his 4-3 that or 4-4 that he was – no, he was playing at about 4-9 because he was thinking so much, and he had no idea where the ball was going. He was bad. And the only reason he played really good in that Pittsburgh game, because they run blitzed him. They blitzed him all the time. So they didn't have him think at all. And I this past year, like you said, third leading tackle with 73 tackles. And he played high. And as the season went along, it looked like he got unsure of himself. Like he lost confidence. Because he's like looking around. And when you're looking around, all of a sudden, them dudes are putting their helmet, that bike, right in your chest. So, he regressed a lot. I thought he was bad. And in the past stuff, he was lost. So, he was getting worse each week. And we kind of saw it because reps started to decline. After that Cincinnati game, which was week 5, I believe, in that big game, when they were going to have meeting, you know, they were going to meet and get it all figured out. What was one of the biggest things they were figuring out was Simpson can't play that much because he's hurting us. You know, a lot of times you're playing with 10. So can he take that next step? And that's going to be the new linebacker coach's job is he that guy? But I'm not counting on him being to me, he's a question mark for me. Like, I'm not penciling him in as starter. I still got to find a starter at that spot. But if he wins it, great, because then maybe I got two that can do it.
Video at 81.57 The Fan, and a bottle of lunch here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. And one more before we get Ryan Wilson in here. Stat linebacker, but move to the outside. Adafe Owe finally broke through with a double-digit sack year, but still seems as though a lot of fans aren't really impressed with a guy that had 13 career sacks heading into this season.
Yeah, Bob, I mean, the thing with Owe, he had 39 tackles, and like you said, he had 10 sacks. Win rate wasn't great. Like, he could win every now and then, like, because he runs 4-4. And he can get a good takeoff. Like, if he beats you to the outside, he could win. And which one of these most recent games he did in that one. Might have been Buffalo or somebody. But and then he also had a spin move where he jumped back inside, which he looked good. But when they were playing teams that were running the football, Tavius Robinson was taking all of his reps, and he was getting a lot less reps. He was becoming more of just the pass rush guy.
But
he...
Bob,
I mean, I'm not paying him. I'm making him play another year before I pay him. I gotta see more and see what else maybe I can go get. But am I like, if I'm an offensive coordinator and he's lining up across from me, do I have to chip him? No. I'm not really, you know, he's not like those other guys, you know, that you gotta chip.
88-81-057, the Fan. Will come back, talk about the end of the NFL season. Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com. Look at the draft coming up in a couple of months. Vinny's Feeble Five, who are the five worst teams? Early edition heading into 2025. Did the dirty dozen earlier, led by the Philadelphia Eagles, and rightfully so. Orioles tomorrow, open to the media. Pitchers and catchers are there now. Now Rich Dubroff is there. The weather's beautiful. Baseball right around the corner. Orioles expected to be good. Whether
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey. I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like it or not, the National Football League, and here to talk about that from CBSSports.com. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. He is Ryan Wilson. Ryan, good afternoon. How you feeling today?
Pretty good. A little under the weather, battling a cold, but no one cares. So I'm happy to talk some football. And as you know, the NFL Combine is at the end of the month, which just racing through the old offseason, and it's only a few days old, it feels like.
Yeah, it never really ends, that National Football League fun, for sure. But the season has, and Philly wins, and deservedly so. Dominant performance in the Super Bowl, and we all agree around these parts that if the Ravens were in it, it would have been a much more competitive game. No way in hell it's ever 34-0 Baltimore trailing Philadelphia, but they weren't in it because they couldn't get past Buffalo. But what about Kansas City? They've got Patrick Mahomes, which is always a very nice place to start. Is this a team that could be in somewhat of a decline? And on the flip side, is Philadelphia a team that's going to have the wherewithal to hold off the Washingtons, Detroits, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, I'll start with the Eagles quickly. I think Vic Fangio is not going anywhere, but they lost their offensive coordinator. And the last time they lost their offensive and defensive coordinators to head coaching jobs, that team was in the tank, and that was just a year ago. So we'll see how that transition works the second time around, because clearly Vic Fangio and Kellen Moore were integral to that team getting back on track, and all the players, of course, and Jalen Hurts playing out of his mind. But in terms of the Chiefs, the Chiefs are fine. I know we have to have things to talk about, but I don't think anyone was – maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think anyone declared the dynasty dead when they lost to Tom Brady's Buccaneers 4 years ago, because the offensive line was in shambles. All the Chiefs did was fix the offensive line, and I think that's what's going to happen this time around. They'll figure out the left tackle position, move Joe Tooney back to left guard, and get everyone healthy. They were injured for much of the season, especially at the wide receiver position, and go from there. I don't know if Travis Kelce comes back, but he wasn't doing a whole lot this time around either. Usually in the last 4 or 5 years, it felt like he sort of eased his way through the regular season, and once January showed up, he started balling out, but that wasn't the case this time around. So I think you fix the tackle position, and then, you know, this team is – are they not going to be favorites in the division in August?
Hey, Ryan, let me ask you this. Ravens have 11 draft picks. Now, you're picking at 27. You see, like, let's say that they're looking at pass rush, because that may be – pass rush or probably corner would be two of the biggest spots that they – is there a guy – like, where's the drop with pass rushers? You know, where is the drop of elite guys? Is it one? Is it two guys? Is it three guys? How many elite pass rushers?
I think we're 4.5 to 5 guys are going to be dudes based on their college performances. And then after that, you're doing a little projecting, but, you know, I always say J.J. Watt went T.J. Watt went at the end of the first round too, because he was too stiff.
All right. On your board, Ryan, where's that fifth guy or 4.5? The last guy that you think is the legit guy, where is he going? What pick?
Picks 20 to 30. And Nick Scorton is that guy. He's every bit of 275, 280. Purdue transfer, ended up at Texas A&M this year. He was a little inconsistent this year, and I'll be interested to find out in the next few weeks if there was something going on. Maybe he was banged up or something. But he is a dude. He reminds me a lot of the way Keon White is for the Patriots coming out of Georgia Tech. He's sort of that size and a little twitchier. And he's not the prototype in terms of the height, weight, speed that we talk about with the Ravens when you talk about Odafe and Ojabo. But, you know, we just did this mock draft on CBS Sports, and James Pierce was there when the Ravens picked, and he does fit that profile, is sort of 250-ish, juiced-up edge rusher. And he is way more along experience-wise than the two guys I mentioned coming out of college. And if he were there, I mean, you never say never. You know, no one thought Nate Wiggins would be there. Nate Wiggins was exactly the dudes they needed and plays with that sort of Ravens edge. And James Pierce feels like that guy as well. But Nick Scorton is more of a T-Sizzle, Terrell Suggs type player. And if you can get behind that, and I imagine Ravens fans can, he would make a lot of sense there at the bottom of round one.
Now, do you see any scenario for the Ravens, Ryan, where, you know, one of those guys is sitting there, that you go get him instead of waiting at 27?
Yeah. I'm trying to do the math here. Let me ask you this. What's going to happen with Ronnie Stanley?
I think he's going to get too much money, to be totally honest. So they're going to move they'll move Rosengarten to the left side, and they'll need a right tackle.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. But if we're just having the edge rush conversation, it's so deep, I don't know if I would trade up, even if you came back on day two, because there are going to be some situational pass rushers you just draft on day two that are going to get 6-7 sacks as rookies just on third down, getting after it. And so unless you love a guy and, you know, Dual Carter slips for some reason, or maybe a Michael Williams, you love him. Like, he's the juiced up guy to Georgia who has good tape, but not great tape, hasn't quite reached his potential. But maybe if you see something in him, you trade up a few spots. But this would not be the draft to trade up for an edge rush, just because you're going to have guys. I'm looking at my numbers here. I have 25 guys going on day one and day two, just in terms of grades. They'll go after that. So there's so much depth there that you would have to really love a young man before you traded up a few spots to get him.
Okay, so the other big needs for them is corner, possibly safety. And you have 11 picks, so you have them throughout the draft. Ryan, you need a right tackle probably, and then, you know, a guard down the road. How are you going to manipulate where you're going to take these guys because of, you know, numbers of players, depth at positions?
Right, yeah. No, I would probably target right tackle first because it's gonna be close. Like, Jonas Abanaya reminds me a little bit of Faalele, like the upside of Faalele. He's not quite that big. But at right tackle at Arizona, he can play right tackle. He may have to kick inside, but he's a day two guy, and if you have an eye on him, that could be someone that you target on day two. Josh Connerly Jr. is a left tackle, insane athlete out of Oregon, and he struggled on the right side at the Senior Bowl, but the athleticism's there. You're going to be a little patient with him. So I would target tackle first and then defensive back because, again, this DB class, both cornerback and safety, they have some depth on day two and even early day three. With those 11 picks, I would imagine you're not going to use them all, so you package some of those picks and move up. If you're looking for an absolute dude at the bottom of the first round, and maybe this is a guy you move up for, is Texas cornerback Jahdae Barron, who plays slot, plays corner. Reminds me a lot of Brian Branch in terms of the way he approaches playing football. He's always around the ball, and if he ended up with the Steelers, I would be ecstatic about that. But this, he feels like a Raven every much. He feels like a Pittsburgh Steeler. So that would be one of the guys I would target in terms of move-up potential. But if you just talking about filling needs based on depth in this draft class, it probably should start with tackle, and you can circle back to edge and cornerback as you get through the draft.
Ryan, I can't believe I'm going to have to ask you this, but what's the depth at kicker?
You know,
Jan Stenerud.
Jan Stenerud and Tom Dempsey. Tom Dempsey's still available. Shout out to Tom Dempsey. You know what's funny? I asked a scout once. I said, How do you evaluate these kicks? Because I don't know. I just asked a special teams coach. And I think that's
what I did.
Yeah, right? So you ask Danny Smith, and whatever he says, that's what to roll with. Because it's funny, man. We're talking about kicker. We're not even talking about for the on-the-field stuff, which was the big issue for the fall. And now it appears like it's much more serious than that. So kicker could obviously be on the table for the Ravens as well.
Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com, Idiot Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Last thing for you, Ryan. Travis Hunter. Shedeur Sanders expected to be, at the very least, top 10 picks. Hunter may be number one overall. Deion, is there a concern from some NFL teams that he's going to be butting in and maybe influencing things in regards to whether or not he wants his players to go to, say, Cleveland at number two, something like that?
Yeah, no, that's a fair question. And I don't think it's any different when you talk to teams than sort of the feeling around Caleb Williams' dad a year ago. There's some concern that he was super involved in. Might be an issue once the team that drafted him, the day-to-day stuff. And that didn't turn out to be the issue, at least publicly in Chicago. And Caleb was as engaged in a young man as I've talked to ever at the combine. And he was down to earth as one can be in that situation. And, you know, Shedeur in the media scrum at the Shrine Bowl sounded pretty down to earth. I didn't get a chance to talk to him. We'll see if we get a chance to talk to him at the combine to get a better read on him. But clearly his life growing up is a little different than most folks coming out of college, coming into the NFL. But I don't think teams are any more concerned about Deion And they sort of know who Deion is as well. There was, you know, a little more mystery surrounding who Caleb's dad was going to be. So that doesn't mean that the Cleveland Browns should draft Shedeur Sanders because they know who Deion is. But I don't think their team's necessarily concerned that they won't be able to get something done simply because of who Shedeur's dad is.
Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com, joins us every Wednesday. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan says, Ryan, enjoy the rest of your Woman Crush Wednesday, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, guys.
Yep. There's Ryan Wilson, everyone. We'll come back. Vinny's Feeble Five. Season's over. But we're looking ahead a little bit. The early bird special, if you want to call it that. Who are the five worst teams on paper in the NFL as we sit here on February the 12th? We gave you the Dirty Dozen Vinny did earlier in the show, led by Philadelphia, and rightfully so. Ravens coming in number two, rightfully so. I don't have a problem with that. I don't think anyone should, because the Ravens personnel is not their problem. But the next teams we're talking about, I guess personnel major problems. That's why they're in the Feeble Five. And then a funhouse trip with Nolan McGraw before Inside Access takes over at two.
How in the world?
Vinny and Haney's Feeble Five.
It has been a nightmare for this team.
The handful of teams we wish the Ravens were playing.
You suck.
105.7 The Fan.
All right. Gave you the Dirty Dozen projected early, of course, for 2025's NFL season, led by the Philadelphia Eagles. The Super Bowl champions look to be loaded again next year. They've been to two of the last three Super Bowls, been in the playoffs three straight years. Ravens coming in second. They go to the playoffs every year. So you get the point. A lot of the Dirty Dozen appropriate teams. Now we get to the Feeble Five. Who are the five worst teams on paper? Keep in mind, pre-draft, pre-combine, pre-free agency, but still, long-term hopes appear to be pretty limited. So without further ado, the five worst teams in the NFL as we sit on February the 12th.
All right, this team has a new coach, has a new GM. They do play the Ravens. The 5-12 New York Jets.
You suck!
Yeah, they don't have a quarterback. Their defense was supposed to be better than it was, underachieving. Offense was underachieving. So, yeah, they had a lot of guys not play well. What are they going to, you know, Aaron Rodgers is out of there. They do have a, you know, good running back. They have a good young receiver. The left tackle, the kid from Penn State, he'll start somewhere for them next year. So is the cupboard bare? Probably not totally bare. I mean, they got the good corner, too.
A sauce card.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of work ahead of them, and it may take a while until they find a quarterback, because I don't think they'll probably get one in a draft where they're picking if there's just two. So they're going to have to go get another veteran guy. I think they're in for a long... I think Aaron Glenn's got his work cut out for him.
And you go back to Sam Darnold's about to cash in. 2018, they drafted him, and he didn't play well there, let's be honest. Then Zach Wilson turned out to be an absolute disaster. Is it fair to say that the Aaron Rodgers era was worse than the Zach Wilson era with the Jets? Oh, my God. That was brutal.
All right, coming in at number four, new coach... 4-13 Jacksonville.
You suck.
Now, I might not have put them this low, but I saw the head coach's press conference, and he looked like Opie. He looked like, you know, he's been a coordinator for 1 year, and now he's a head coach after having one good year as a coordinator. I mean, he doesn't know what he doesn't know.
Yeah, Liam Cohen, right?
Yeah, yes. So I think that's going to be a tough one. They got a hell of a receiver. The defense totally underachieved. They're going to have a new GM, too. Well, Tony Boselli is going to be basically doing that, you know, running their personnel and stuff. So there's a lot of question marks there.
And they thought they had a franchise quarterback in Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, and that's why Liam Cohn's here, to try to get him. How many times they brought in Peterson, you know, to help with get the quarterback straight. You know, so, Bob, here's the thing about Trevor Lawrence that his best year was his freshman year in college. The best.
Mm-hmm. Well, got great hair, I guess. Yeah. And Travis Etienne, what's going on there, too?
Yeah.
His teammate at Clemson.
Well, yeah, a lot of their guys, you know, are... They passed on Aiden Hutchinson, you know? who love. They got a lot of guys that, you know what they went and got? They got guys that, height, weight, speed, they look good. Oh, I think they're going to project better than Aiden Hutchinson, but Aiden Hutchinson's a better football player. Oh, we are playing football, you know, so that's why Trent Baalke's gone too. Otherwise, they couldn't have got a coach. Number three, 3-14 New York Giants.
You suck!
They got a lot of issues there too. I mean, they need a quarterback. I mean, all these teams need quarterbacks. The Giants, they need a quarterback. They need offensive linemen. I don't know. They got neighbors.
Yeah. Running back, Tracy looked like he's
got
some.
Yeah, he was okay. Yeah, the two rookies, they were fine. But, Bob, the Cal kid who they took, the pass rusher, he hadn't been the guy. They went and got Burns. He was okay for them this year. But they got a lot of things that they need. But
Thibodeau was a highly regarded.
That's what I mean, Thibodeau, yeah. So, the Giants, you know, and coach is on the hot seat. So, coach and GM. So, if they don't get it right this year, and it's going to be difficult without a quarterback, they have to go get a veteran guy. That's what's going to be tough. Coming in at 2-14 Tennessee.
You suck!
Another team that needs a quarterback. And another team that coach is on the hot seat. You know, I mean, if they don't win, he's going to be gone. So they'll be starting over again. Got a new GM. So where's the hope for Tennessee? That's the thing. I mean, what are you building on at Tennessee?
You don't like Levis?
No. Mel likes him, you know, but no, I don't like Levis. He turns the ball over way too. Bobby does too many dumb things. You know, it just doesn't seem like.
Doesn't he like mayonnaise? Isn't he?
Yeah,
mayonnaise
that's the one
guys?
That does the splits.
Yeah.
Yeah, with his mayonnaise.
Thibodeau's from Oregon, by the way.
Oregon. Yeah. So Tennessee, yeah, I just think Tennessee's in for a long rebuild. And I don't know that Callahan, the head coach. I mean, they kept him this year and fired the GM.
Yeah, there were whispers that he was one and done there.
And then coming in last, number one, 3-14 Cleveland.
You suck!
And another one where Stefanski, he may end up getting fired, but is it really going to be his fault? Because how bad are things when your best player, he wants out, Myles Garrett, he wants, you know, thinks it's going to be a long rebuild. They don't have a quarterback. They've got O-line issues, coordinator issues. They've just got owner issues. He wants to put the stadium, you know, out by the airport. So there's a lot of problems in Cleveland. And if I'm, you know, Cincy, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, I'm glad Cleveland's in our division because they've got a ton of issues and they're not close. They're not. If they were close, Myles Garrett would be like, yeah, okay, you know. Sure. But
the Deshaun Watson thing obviously blew up in their face big time.
And if they're smart, if you can get 2 ones for Garrett and you got the second pick, go draft the Penn State kid to replace Garrett. Go start rebuild, have 2 more picks. You know, I mean, they're in a mess.
But some way, somehow, they find a way to beat the Ravens every year.
Yes, they do.
So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, so in summary, Cleveland 1, Tennessee 2, Giants 3. Now, all three of those coaches, they'll be on the hot seat. Now, they all could be fired after this next year. Jacksonville and the Jets, they both have new coaches this year. So the stability in those, that's why they're in the feeble 5.
Spitty and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Before we hit the break, I'm going to borrow a line from Hot for Teacher, the Van Halen classic, David Lee Roth. I brought my pencil. Matt Patricia's back. He brought his pencil. He's the defensive coordinator now at Ohio State. Well, real quick, speaking of baseball, Anthony Rendon, hip surgery, expected to miss a significant amount of time. General manager Perry Minasian said for that team, 7 years, $245 million.
Jesus.
He signed after winning the World Series with the Nats. So, talk about bad contracts and every sport's got them. That's got to be in the Hall of Baseball shame for sure. I mean, Chris Davis is Lou Gehrig production-wide for the Orioles. compared to what that dude did for the Angels.
At least Davis tried.
Sure. Yeah.
Cared about baseball, his teammates.
Yep, and he did well 16, and he just kind of went, oop, oop, oop. Mm-hmm.
But the thing that would piss me off if I'm the GM is you know, you're going to have surgery now. You know, players don't like to have it on their time. They want to relax, you know, when I get to camp, then I want to have surgery. Then, you know, he's going to be out probably for the year.
He makes Trout look like Cal Ripken when it comes to durability, yeah. By the way. But since he debuted for them in 2020, Rendon hasn't played more than 58 games.
That's insane.
That's yikes.
And what a tough decision at the time for the Nationals after coming off the World Series. And he was one of the biggest reasons why they won that World Series. He was outstanding.
Led the league in ribbies that year.
I think I might have been in the camp at the time saying, how do you let this guy go? And they made the tough choice, and they made the right choice.
Because they had just let Harper leave, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But, you know, they had young Juan Soto. But that's their problem, the Angels. Nolan, anything else you want to share with the people?
I don't think so.
Let's get out of here.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
First text here reads, as far as Kansas City is concerned, you definitely can't write them off until Mahomes is off that roster. Plus, you know he's first in line to restructure his contract in any way possible to clear some money for others. That dude won't stomach coming up short in back-to-back years. Go ahead and pencil their name into the AFC title game right now.
The only thing I would say about that, I'm totally in agreement with Mahomes, but if Kelsey leaves, say he retires, Chris Jones not getting any younger, and that's their stud on their defense, and then they have three other starters on defense that are free agents. You know, and you need a left tackle, and they drafted one last year. They drafted the kid from BYU, and he wasn't ready yet. So they've got some things that they got exposed a little bit.
And Ryan mentioned the injuries. Hey, Rashee Rice missed most of the season, mm-hmm. but Pacheco didn't seem to be the same guy when he came back.
This one here on the Ravens comes from Miss M. Yes, the M stands for mystery, says, to answer your Ravens' needs question, the answer is coaching. How can Harbaugh continue to be held in the same type of high esteem as other great head coaches? Look at the Philly head coach, Sirianni's been to more Super Bowls in a short time frame, the same amount of titles as Harbaugh. I agree with those in the national media who say it's time Harbs should be under fire.
Hey, Bob, Sirianni's the only one that's been to the Super Bowl twice and probably almost got fired twice.
Yeah. They were running him out of town in September. Yeah. And Miss Emma, Miss Mike McDonald, baby.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Now it's yeah.
Over to the Orioles. Texter here says there's too much emphasis on the left field wall changes for Orioles batters like Mountcastle. How do you think the pitchers feel about having their safety blanket taken away from them against right-handed bats? Most lineups around the league are not as lefty-heavy as the O's. Opponents will start raking again here.
Well, I don't know if they'll be raking to the level they were pre-Baltimore, because the wall's still going to have a nice little height to it. But it's moving in, and, you know, take advantage of it. If you're the Orioles, make it your home field. Mm-hmm. Advantage. The good news is guys like Eflin Sagano, they're ground ball pitchers and they keep things down on the ground. That was signed Miss B as in Brett Boone or Aaron Boone. What's going on around here?
And one last one here. Texter says, I think a position change for Holiday could be a benefit to the team right now. Shuffle your infield. I'd put Gunner at third, Holiday at short, Westberg at second. I can't automatically lock Gunner in at short after all his errors last year. Westberg, meanwhile, very versatile. No difference for him between third and second.
Gunnar Henderson's going to be the everyday shortstop for the Orioles until either he retires or he leaves via free agency. That's the way it is. The ceiling is extremely high. And I mentioned Aaron Boone real quick. He was talking trash about the Dodgers showing a little class after they won the World Series. And if the Yankees do it, they'd be classier. Dude, you remember your two fans ripping the ball out of Mookie Betts' glove in the World Series, right? To the point where they've been banned permanently from the stadium. So we want to talk about lack of class. Maybe address that fan base of yours wearing number 7 Mantle jerseys with the name on the back, which never happened.
It was a terrible comment. I mean, it makes no sense. He was asked about it, for those who didn't see it. It's not like he brought it up unprovoked. So a reporter asks him, what do 99% of the coaches or managers in the league do in that situation? They shoot it down.
Sure.
They dismiss it. That's what Brandon Hyde would do, and he doesn't even work in a rabid media market. This guy can't get out of his own way.
Yeah, and talk about hot seats. You let them get off to a slow start. You know, Aaron Boone always on the hot seat. And if George Steinbrenner still was alive and on the Yankees, he probably would have been fired 3-4 years ago. 5-8-80-1-0-5-7 The Fan, but he didn't. And they are the defending American League champions. And until they're passed, everyone's chasing them in the division. We're back tomorrow. Total Request Thursday. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy. It's going to be raining later, so be careful out there on the roads. Inside Access coming up next. For now, class dismissed.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Cook up a special dinner with USDA Choice Beef New York Strip Steak, bone-in for $7.99 per pound. And for that special someone on Valentine's Day, Debbie Lilly Design Dozen Roses for $24.99. Large pack of 2-pound strawberries or 18-ounce blueberries, $4.99 each. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.